Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's another special, I'll call it a twofer show, because there's two of us here. There's me and Patrice. Patrice, how's it going?
I was kind of waiting for you to start singing, like, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, all of that, and I'm feeling good.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could still happen.
It could still happen, yeah. Maybe this is Big Show, the musical or something.
Right.
Which probably is also the last show we ever do, so...
Yeah. Welcome to the show. Patrice is here with these cameras. I feel so near. Patrice, how was that?
That was actually pretty cool. Yeah. Anyway, I'm good. I'm good. Weather is definitely more leaning towards fall now. It rained, I think, the last 2 days, at least yesterday all day, and I think a little bit the day before. But then today it was beautiful again. So beautiful and relatively warm, not summer hot, but warm. So I can't complain. And I have an exam tomorrow, so I've been like preparing all week and not doing much else. So cannot wait for that to be over. I'm ready. Like, it's not a problem. That. It's just like yeah. One less thing.
So what? Well, you're dealing with, well, it rained, but no, then it's nice again. Yeah. Then it rained and nice. The big exciting weather thing for me is that the winds have shifted some, so we don't have as much wildfire smoke.
Nice. Good for you. Now the wildfire smoke, wow, that's a difficult word, is somewhere else.
Yeah, the wildfire smoke is still a thing, just not quite as much of it here.
Yeah, maybe I should have sent you like some of the rain we got, like half. I could have been okay
great.
With half of it, because it was quite heavy rain and it was all day basically constant. So half of it, send it over to your place, and then like that's the end of wildfires.
Yeah, we could send it to the Pacific Northwest. I think that's where we need it the most, there and up into Canada, and just let it rain.
Sure. I'll get on that. I'll get some ships ready and whatever we have to do. Some planes, send the planes over there with the cloud planes that we have. Right.
Right. Hopefully they won't get hammered with tariffs.
Probably.
Fly to Canada.
Yeah, that's an idea. We'll just do it in Canada.
Just go to Canada.
They will be like, yeah, shit, send it over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so
how are you doing? So other than no more smoke,
I'm still alive and kicking, and considering the state of the world, that's actually pretty good right now. So
yeah, true that.
yeah.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah, sorry, I don't have any exciting.
Doesn't have to.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's do something else.
Which actually is something else, because we've been in Summer of Fun.
Yes.
But that's wrapped up now.
Yeah. So this is the best ever post Summer of Fun 2025 Big Show we've ever done.
The musical.
The musical. Yes.
Yeah. So for those of you that have forgotten what we usually do, we show up with tech industry news stories and talk about them.
Yeah.
Just like hang out and have a good time. So that's where we are now. And unless you want to start, Patrice.
I can. I have a story.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, so I have a kind of a health technology story. I mean, technology in the very wide sense, because, you know, technology is everywhere these days. You might have heard of CRISPR, the gene editing technology that was invented, feels like a long time ago at this point. There's a new, I think, really interesting study, call it, experiment, not really experiments, more study, that's ongoing. Of course, probably a decade or two away from or at least a decade probably away from like any real practical people can get it applications. But yeah, it's like there's new hope for diabetes patients, especially type 1 diabetes, because with type 1 diabetes, it's not that your body doesn't react to insulin anymore, which is type 2 and which like a lot of people have, but that's the more, I think, the more prevalent one that happens, because it's mostly also diet related, at least as far as we know. Type 1 is more that the pancreatic cells simply stop working. They don't produce insulin anymore, not as much, or like all of that. And So scientists have basically created, with the help of CRISPR, they have created gene-edited pancreatic cells and have transplanted them into a patient with type 1 diabetes for the first time. And they were able to produce insulin again for months without needing any immunosuppressants or anything like that. So that very, 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 very early. And yeah, might take a decade to go through all the trials and approvals and also make sure it works and it doesn't have any long-term side effects. Like, I don't know, crazy thing might cause cancer, pancreatic cancer, because, you know, you change genes, like stuff like that could happen. But well, there is at least some chance that eventually in a long, long, long time in the future, if you have type 1 diabetes, or if you develop type 1 diabetes, they kind of take, I don't know, probably they harvest cells from you, edit them and reimplant them, and then you grow another pancreas, for example, or like a kidney or stuff like that.
Right? Which would be cool.
Which would be cool. Like, you take a pill, think about that. You take a pill and you grow another kidney. Have you heard that before?
Would be amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I find stuff like this so interesting, because there's so much potential here, and it can do so much good for so many people. But the wait time. It's just like, oh my God, why can't we do this faster? I get why we can't do it faster. And it's important we don't do it faster.
Yeah. I mean, it's
still super cool.
Exactly. There are some illnesses where you probably don't have to be as careful or wait as long, because the upside is bigger than the potential downsides. Like, I don't know, if the patient is already dying, even if whatever they only live 5 years for some reason, it still might still be worth it, basically. But with type 1 diabetes, for example, people can live quite long and relatively easy, not easy lives, but like relatively normal lives, like my mom has it. And so any potential treatment that you have, you want to make sure that you don't make it worse.
Right.
It's great if you live, like, you don't need to take insulin for the next 2 years, but then, but you develop really awful cancers after. Maybe not a good choice.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's, as you said, there's so much, like, we're only starting to figure out how our body does certain things and how we can use that to our advantage, or how nature does a lot of things. Like, it's not just humans. And I think this is one way of doing that. How our genes even work is still, like, we've decoded, in air quotes, the gene sequences. What are we doing? We still don't know shit, like, what is exactly doing what. It's not simple.
We are just fantastically complicated organisms. And I mean, the fact that our bodies work at all is just remarkable. Okay, but
ish.
fair-ish.
They work ish. They work
They
for
work
a
ish.
while, at least they work. And then they usually don't.
Yeah, but I mean something as complicated as us. I mean it's the potential for fixing things is amazing, but at the same time, the number of things that can go wrong at any given time is also remarkable.
And it's, I mean, also the human body's capability of fixing a lot of things is also remarkable if you really think about it. Like what we can recover from, like. So yeah, it's like I said, this is cool. Like as I said, far away, like this is a one, I think one patient they've done that with and published a paper. So it's not been repeated, it's not gone through like bigger studies, bigger clinical trials, long-term studies to see what the long-term effects of this are. None of that. But it's been done on a human, so it's not like, oh, we tried this in, I don't know, pufferfish and worked. Yeah, right.
Pufferfish, best human analog I
Yeah,
can think of.
exactly. Like that. Yeah, but I mean, as I said, like that, we do stuff like that as well, and it has value, but. It's good that we've done it in humans and it works because a lot of the things we do in any kind of animal studies turn out to be not applicable to humans once you try it. So the fact that this worked is already encouraging. At least for, I think they said in a paper, I think for a year at least it worked. So like it's not been that long, but at least for a year it's been producing insulin just fine. So.
Well, I mean, that's really good too. Even if this was a thing where it's like you get your injection, and then every year or two you have a booster injection.
Yeah, why not? Well, I'm guessing it was more than an injection. It was probably some like some at least minor surgery. But still, like
Right.
even if you every I don't know, every 5 years you have to come in and they inject new cells and then it's fine again. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's probably something they could even do as a minor thing where you stay overnight and then you go back home.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so will be interesting. What's your story?
All right. Well, I'm going to riff off the whole it's a thing that takes a long time to happen idea. But this time it's Spotify.
Oh yeah.
So 8 years ago, Spotify said, "Oh yeah, well we're doing high fidelity lossless audio too. It's gonna happen." And then, like 4 years ago, they said, "No, it's really gonna happen." And now, it's actually going to happen. So it's taken them 8 years. And they're starting to roll out the higher quality audio files, and if you have a paid subscription, you will have access to the higher quality audio. If you're on a free subscription, no, you don't, and which seems reasonable. For some people, this will be awesome. For other people, they will be disappointed. Because the audio quality that you're going to get is 24-bit, 44.1 kilohertz. Now, a CD is 16-bit, 44.1 kilohertz. So this is higher audio quality, but if you're expecting the same level of quality that you're getting from other streaming services, it's not that. However, the likelihood of most people are going to be able to tell the difference is extremely low. So,
Zero,
yeah. So it seems to me like from a marketing standpoint, 24-bit, 44.1 kilohertz is disappointing. But from a practical, real-world standpoint, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. I mean, what does lossless in this case mean? Because I mean, at the end of the day, everything is encoded, right? So it's
Right.
maybe minimal. I mean, all of them are minimal loss, but they're not completely 100% lossless.
Right. So for the people that are curious, FLAC, that's the file format they're using for this, which is good.
Well, yeah, it's a good
But
format.
yes, you're right. Lossless is still
It's a marketing term.
lossy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a marketing term, which is fine. I mean, for I think for all intents and purposes, I don't think we as humans can tell the difference. So it doesn't matter that there's like a slight minor difference still between like true, like analog lossless, like real like lossless versus what we have here.
Well, okay, the only way to have true analog lossless is
Is to have the band right in front of you and you stand there. And even then, our
but it
brain
has to
still
be,
does shit.
but you can't use microphones.
No, you're standing in front of the band, basically. That is true
Right.
lossless.
That's true lossless, and they're not using microphones. There's
No.
no audio coming out of speakers.
No,
It
it's
has to be
literally just,
literal acoustic.
yeah, acoustic.
Yeah.
That is properly lossless. Everything else, to one way or another, has some level of maybe negligible, wow, loss, but it has some. As I said, even our ears are not 100% perfect if you really think about it, our brains and whatever. So,
Well, sure, because
yeah.
it's capturing snapshots just like our eyes do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but
And
either
if you're
way, I
using a
mean,
microphone,
yeah.
it's
There's,
digital. So all
yes.
recordings are digital, at least through part of the process.
Not really.
Because, well, with a microphone, it's an electric signal.
It's electric. It's not digital. It's electric. It's not digital.
Okay, it's electric, so it's not analog.
It's an electric.
And
It's an electric signal, but you still have losses due to the frequencies that the microphone even captures.
Correct. Yes,
Yeah. So
yes.
it is, as I said,
Much better way to
it
put
is
it.
kind of. It
Yes.
is an analog signal. It's an electric analog signal, but it's. It still has loss because it can only capture certain frequencies. Set.
Right.
But we're getting into the weeds of details here. I mean, as I said, it's the lossless is a marketing term. Every company has a slightly different definition of what it means. But I think at the end of the day, for the people who care about, they make that determination. If they say 24-bit 44.1 kHz is enough, and it is lossless for me, then it is lossless. So I'll ask you, because I know you care about that. Is that for you sufficient?
That would be sufficient.
Okay, so then it's good
And I
enough.
mean, so realistically, when you're dealing with a CD,
Yeah, CDs were not
you're
never that
already
great of
hitting
a,
the
yeah. CDs were
yeah
not that
you're
great of a quality to begin with, so it's not a good benchmark.
right. Not a good benchmark, but also the what our ears will pick up. The audio quality itself isn't going to be that much different for most people. Where you're going to hear the big differences, it's all the other subtle things that would be in the music. Like maybe there's more with strings, or you get more of the trail off from a cymbal
Yeah,
or something.
subharmonics, breathing can be like stuff like that sometimes shows up. Yeah, it's like more
Right.
detail. Now, by the way, CDs are digital, so just so that we.
Yes, they are. CDs are absolutely digital.
Yeah, so yeah, and I mean for sure this, but the lossless format is also digital. It has to be because otherwise the computer can't do anything with it. Like you have to be
Yes.
able to encode it as zeros and ones still.
Yeah, and well, and where we are with the recording technology today, if you're buying an LP, a record, even though it's the needle on the record platter
Yeah.
and it's doing the analog thing, it's still from a digital recording.
Yeah, a
They're
lot
just really good digital
to
recordings.
today, yes. Like most recordings these days are actually digital recordings. Like they don't record on analog media anymore. So at some point, somewhere, like for mixing and whatever, actually after it's mixing, it gets digitalized. And then they might return. I mean, to be honest, like every speaker does that. Every speaker will turn a digital into an analog signal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a DAC is.
Exactly. You know, there's a DAC in your phone. There's mm-hmm. a DAC in your computer.
Actually, more than one, probably.
I have an external DAC that I use with my speakers
mm-hmm.
so that I have better audio quality
yeah.
or better reproduction mm-hmm. of the audio recording than I can get from the DAC standard that's built DAC. Into my computer.
Yeah. So, as I said, at the end of the day, it's marketing. But, as I said, and probably 90-something percent of people will not even... I mean, I'm not sure I can tell the difference. And I've worked in like a little bit in audio production and so on. So, but some people can, and I know that that's true. It's not imagined, like they really can. So,
when I can really tell the difference,
mm-hmm.
it's because I'm using the right setup across the board, where I can take two different versions of the same recording
mm-hmm.
and play them side by side, and I can tell you the difference.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I think it's a good thing that Spotify is doing it for the people who care. Could they go higher? Probably, but I'm guessing it's also a little bit of a balance between cost and everything. I mean, it's not just cost of streaming. It's also cost of storage and so on.
I think a lot of it, and I'm totally speculating here, just making that clear. I think a lot of it is they know how their users
mm-hmm.
use the service.
Oh yeah.
And I'm betting it's primarily mobile.
Yeah. If you're streaming this to your phone and then listening with your AirPods, then it actually doesn't matter.
Yeah, then it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But as I said, it's still good, and I think I have a feeling lossless eventually will become the new normal. And the reason for it is simply it is slightly better. And at some point, the markup in cost will not matter anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's simply better to just have better quality.
I agree. Yep.
Yeah. And we've probably skipped over 500 million other things that we could have mentioned here that now someone is screaming at their podcast player. By the way, we're publishing also usually are we? No, actually this show not. On Metal Rewatch we're publishing also M4 audio, so not just MP3, which is differently encoded. It's a little slightly bit better quality. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to mention. Not lossless. I mean, we could, but we don't have. I have actually half like all the I mean the recordings are not lossless, but the outputted, edited files are actually FLAC.
Okay.
And then we render it down again to AAC.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Before you render out to final output, you want to have the better audio quality maintained through as much of the process as possible.
Correct.
So you're not losing quality
mm-hmm.
with each edit or each save.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing. So everything before is quite high quality, and then I render it down to the final product, which is AAC and MP3 if you want. Yeah, anyway, good story. I like that. It's a premium upgrade, right? That you have to... Or no, it's part of the premium plan.
It's part of the premium package.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So I like that they're doing it that way, as opposed to saying... You can pay for premium, and then you can pay for premium lossless or premium plus, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. I think maybe that's also why it took Spotify so long to do it. Like others already offer that, like Apple especially. So I think they probably wanted to charge extra for it, but they saw that the market probably wouldn't accept that. So it took them a while
Apple
to do that.
Apple kind of ruined that for everyone.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that's why they were like, okay, they have to update. It's probably also why the quality is the quality it is. Like it's a compromise between the price and what people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah. I'm betting Tidal is still bitter about how this all played out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But that's what happens. Like some things are features, not products. And lossless mm-hmm. is a feature, not a product.
I agree.
They tried. Yeah, but as I said, it's yeah, like it. I'm not a fan of Spotify, but I know a lot of people care about it, so good.
Yeah, I know a lot of Spotify fans. And for me, the best feature of Spotify, the differentiator is the playlist features. The whole collaborative playlists and smart playlists, the way they do playlists, I think they've done a really good job with that. The other side of that, though, is if you're saying, hey, play me this kind of music, they screw over artists anyhow, but they're really screwing over artists because a lot of the music they play, it's the stuff that they're having generated for them. So it's their own content and not the actual artist you're expecting to hear.
Exactly. Okay. Should I do another one? Let me see. Let's pick the one I originally wanted to pick. So,
Okay.
there's an you know there's an and it's a European story, so very good for the British tech network. but okay. There's this prevalent thought in Europe right now that Europe is basically no man's land when it comes to startups and tech startups especially. And it's basically like either you're in the US or you're maybe in China, and if you're not, then you're basically lost. Like Europe is basically nowhere to be seen on that in that space. Like all the big tech companies, the so-called unicorns, all in the US basically. Well, there's a really interesting story from TechCrunch about that, where, I mean, the EU has, and this is now more EU, but I think I'm assuming the UK is also doing that. They've been pushing to make it easier for startups to be created here, to support them where they can, to kind of close the gap a little bit with the US where possible, as far as that is even possible. And lo and behold, there is 10 this year, more than 10 new unicorns. So I think the definition of unicorns is that they're, I think, close to a billion. Or have at least valuations of close to or over a billion. And for the first half of 2025, by the way, so because we're only in September, we've had 12 of them. And some of them you probably never heard of, and some of them you're like, okay, you might have heard of them. For example, Lovable, the Swedish AI vibe coding startup, became a
Oh,
unicorn
okay.
in basically no time. 8 months after launch, they raised 200 million CSA, and then basically reached a 1.8 billion valuation.
That's
So,
insane, but okay, here we go.
But Lovable Labs Inc. is now registered in Delaware. So, even though most people are in the U in Europe, in Stockholm, okay, you can see
Well,
that,
if it's a
right?
European company and they've registered in Delaware, I mean, it makes sense from a US taxation
Yeah,
standpoint.
that's probably why. Some people might have heard of Fuse Energy. It's a renewable company in the UK, founded by in 2022. By actually, Revolut is another one of those like more fintech startups in from Europe. I think they're from Europe. So they like two former executives raised like a funding round and created a renewable energy company. What was the other one I saw? The Isar Aerospace is like Isar is near Munich, so it's actually a river. Isar Aerospace became a unicorn in June, after they had an agreement with Eldridge Industries for a convertible bond of 150 million. It's a launch company, so it's from a university, and the university actually has 22 unicorns, so it's kind of an incubator type of situation, or like a Stanford kind of type of situation, but in Munich.
You know, I get excited about stuff like this because the companies like Isar are helping to really build or shore up that foundation
Yeah.
of space flight and
Yeah.
satellite launches
Space
outside of the US.
exploration and so on. Yeah, exactly. And Germany has, I mean, we have the ESA. It's, I mean, of course, nowhere near as big as Russia even, or US space programs, or even Japan, I think, is quite big. China, of course, these days. But ESA has been, or EASA? EASA, I think, has been pretty steadily in the game, and they've had presences on the ISS for years, basically, or decades, I think, at that point. And yeah, we've shot up satellites. A lot of the Ariane satellites are from Europe. Stuff like that. So there's a history of space industry, and like this, as you said, this is building the foundation. There was one more that I wanted to mention, and now missed it somewhere. There's a where was that? Yeah, MUBI, there it is, in June. MUBI. MUBI is a it's funded, or was funded, by Sequoia Capital, and it's a film streaming service. So kind of akin to, well, not really Netflix. It's an indie Netflix, basically. It's been around for a while, 2007. But it also produces and distributes movies now. And as I said, it raised, it reached a billion valuation, which is, for a competitor kind of to Netflix and other big streaming services from Europe, quite a feat. So yeah, have a look at the list. There's some other, like, I only picked out a couple, but there are some other really cool companies on the list.
I had
So we're
forgotten
getting
about
there.
MUBI, but I just pulled up their website. I'm like, oh, yes, now I remember this company.
Yeah, so as I said, I mean, Spotify is another one. Like, Spotify is and was is a Swedish, I think, company. Finnish, Swedish? Always forget. Scandinavian, so on. I think it's Swedish.
I have a friend that used to call that area Scandahovia.
Okay. Scandinavia. Yeah. So anyway, like, that is, yeah, that's my story. I said it's an interesting one.
It is. I like it. Okay. So, obligatory AI story,
Go for it.
but from the other side of it, sort of. So, Oracle, they did an announcement yesterday, as we record, that they had signed several multi-billion-dollar contracts with some of their customers, but they didn't say who. And then the info was presumably leaked to the Wall Street Journal that one of those companies is OpenAI. So OpenAI is purchasing $300 billion worth of compute resource from Oracle over a 5-year window starting in 2027.
300 billion. So that's probably about 3 days for ChatGPT.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't know. I mean, over 5 years even. I mean, that's actually, I'm not sure that is actually that much. Like, 5 years.
Well, Wall Street Journal is saying that it's one of the largest cloud contracts ever signed.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we had the whole actually, yeah, we had the whole Microsoft OpenAI deal, and I think that was smaller than that. Was it 100 billion? Something like that. 100, 150. So yeah, you're right.
That
It's
sounds
true.
right.
Yeah, it's about 60 billion a year. I mean, in cloud credits, basically. So you can do a lot of
Yeah.
stuff with that.
And it's not like that they would have to start from scratch
Oh,
to
no.
ramp this up
No, no,
because
no.
Oracle and OpenAI have been
Yes.
partnering for a couple of years.
Exactly. And I mean, Oracle is a well-known entity. It's not one of the really big ones like Microsoft and AWS, of course, so Amazon, or Google. I think the top three would be, yeah, AWS, Azure, and GCE. But it is a well-known cloud company. And Oracle, I mean, I even signed up because I, well, friend of ours, Brett Terpstra, used to work for them. So they talked a little bit about their cloud offerings, and they were quite interesting. So even I signed up for it and gave it a try, and it was good. I didn't need it for anything, so I kind of stopped using it. But it was good. So yeah, it makes sense. They, as I said, they've been pushing. Like, they've really been pushing for, hey, get more companies to sign up with their cloud offerings. Yeah, now we need companies like that in Europe, because that is severely needed. We have some struggles right now with US-based cloud companies, for, I think, obvious reasons.
Okay, so I predict the next
Oh yeah, the next unicorn is, yeah, could be a cloud company. There's some cloud providers, I don't know, I would have to check. They might either be unicorns already, or they're definitely on the way. Like, there's a couple, like OVH, for example, that are pretty massive. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have already passed that point.
I'm expecting the company will be that new startup, PCDC.
PCD.
Patrice Cloud Data Company.
Oh yeah, sure. I'll get right on that.
All you need is another outlet strip so you can plug in
Yeah,
some more
I
drives
have
to the
or
place and you're
exact.
set.
I already have the starting point over here, right next to me.
Right?
Yeah, but I'm also not on Silicon Valley, where I run like a whole cloud platform from my garage.
Right. Yeah, but you know,
What is their market cap? Oh yeah,
well,
they're
that's
definitely one. So I just checked OVH, which is a hosting provider, I think European, at 1.69 billion market cap on the stock market, on the stock exchange. So
Okay.
yeah, so there is already some, but they're not on the same, not yet on the same level that the big, even the big four are, if you can't overcome that list.
I bet the EU
Oh yeah.
cloud services are going to start growing faster.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I think there's a lot of world economic incentive for that to happen.
Yeah, and the EU is also pushing it. Like, they have realized that dependence from, well, the US or China currently, is probably not the best. So they're definitely trying to, and I work with cloud products in Europe all the time, and we have customers, especially in Germany, that don't want to host stuff outside and with US companies, you know, because they're already skittish to even have cloud, the word cloud being used. So if you tell them that it's Microsoft or Amazon, they're like, ooh. So I work with them. They're, from the quality perspective and the size perspective, like scaling perspective, nowhere near the big four. So potential.
Well, a lot of potential.
You have
And
just given me
now
an
your
idea for
Oracle's Grok is
investments.
worth more. Oh, okay. I'm glad to help.
All right. Should we do one more? I would have none more if you want.
Sure. If you have another story, bring it
Oh, I
on.
have so many. I'm just thinking, like, which way do we go from here? Let's go with Signal. We could also talk. No, let's talk Signal. I don't want to talk about Intel, so let's talk about
Okay.
Signal.
Let's talk about Signal.
So Signal has a it's probably a short story, so it's also good. It has an interesting new offering. Because they're now offering free and also paid backup plans for your chats. So if you've ever used Signal, you know that basically, unless you transfer your chats from device to device, or if don't remember, I think you can even do a backup yourself, they're lost. Right? They're gone. Because it's supposed to be and is secure, end-to-end encrypted. So it's not their servers. There's nothing that would be of any use, basically. It's just like we call my boss always calls it byte sausages in German, though. Bytewürste, he calls it, because it's like ground beef. Like, it's just, yeah, you don't know what it was before.
Okay, now I totally have the bite sausages visual working in my head.
Good, perfect.
This is one of the reasons why, even though German is a difficult language,
Yes.
it's so versatile and so
Oh yeah,
cool
we
because
invent words all
bite sausages,
the
when you get the visual, it's like
Yeah.
that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's it, German. We invent words all the time. And then people fight against it because, oh no, this word doesn't exist. Yeah, but anyway, that's Germany for you. Yeah, so
Every word exists in German.
yeah, every word exists in German, but there is a fight going on because everybody's saying, oh no, you can't invent new words because that's against the purity of the German language, blah blah blah, all of this
I
bullshit.
thought that was the core of German language.
Exactly, it
I have this
is.
word, I have this word.
Yeah.
Smash them together for the new
Exactly,
thing.
it is, but it's also people don't like change in Germany, so that's the problem.
Oh, yeah, okay, I can see that. Yep.
So anyway, back to Signal. So they're introducing a feature that allows users to back up their conversations for free with 45 days of media. There's also a pay. So it sounds like basically your chat messages you can back up for free. I mean, that's easy because that's just text, easily compressible. It's not a lot of data. Like, I'm guessing somehow they make that work financially. But media, 45 days. So and that makes sense because the videos and the memes and pictures and that's a lot of data. So I don't know. You can probably store, I don't know, a billion text messages for, I don't know, one JPEG or something like that.
Okay.
Something like that. It's ridiculous. Ask me how I know because I've built a messenger, an end-to-end encrypted messenger. So I know the math behind it. So 100 gigabytes of storage you can have for the paid feature. Yeah, it's a nice feature. I think it's good for the average consumer. Because I think that was, or I assume that was one of the problems that people saw. They're like, okay, what happens if I drop my phone in the toilet and it's gone? Or in the pool or whatever. Like, but all my chats are gone. All the important memes that someone sent to me are gone. Yeah, what do I do?
Yep, it makes sense. And okay. I'm actually not a Signal user, and that's because when and I haven't looked at Signal in years. From what I'm assuming is it is not the same now. When I went to sign up and use Signal long time ago, it was doing the thing where it would access and copy all of your contacts to the Signal server, and then you could delete them after the fact. And I'm like, I do not trust any company taking my whole contact book. And
I think you can still do that, but I, for example, disabled it. It's not a problem. I don't send my
So you can
at all.
sign up now
Yeah.
and tell it,
Yeah.
no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Whereas when I tried years ago, it just stopped me in my
Yeah.
tracks.
And now I don't know. I'm assuming Android also does that, but iOS 26 has that feature where you can even select which contacts you want to sync. So maybe you're like, okay, these three are fine. The rest not.
Yeah. And that would be totally acceptable. All right, so I'll wait for iOS 26 to roll out next week, and then I can actually get on Signal in case there's people that I need to talk to that way. But I'm t going totally off track here. My actual point is, for people like you and me, we can figure out how to make sure all of that data that we want from those conversations doesn't get lost, but the average user can't.
Exactly. And to be fair, also the average user will probably not pay for it, which is why they were smart enough. And to clarify, I think I misstated a little bit. You get 100 megabytes of storage for text messages. As I said, that's a lot. 100 megabytes of
That's a
text is a ton. It's compressed usually, so That's a lot. And
That's a lot,
45
yeah.
days worth of media for free. So that is usually sufficient for what most people need. Is that minus the media? So media, okay, but to be fair, also most of the time people don't send anything important through those check chains that you need to keep for long. If you do, or if you want more, then yeah, pay more. But the 100 megabytes, they say even so, it's sufficient for even heavy users, and I believe that. I would have to look up what how much actually even my whole iMessage, really the messages part is, and I bet it's probably less than 100 meg so far.
I
I don't
just
know if you
look on
can.
my iPhone
I
right
don't even know
now.
if it tells you, or if it just shows you the media.
So if I go into general iPhone storage and it's doing some spinny math right here. Okay, my total message database is 3.64 gig.
Totally.
And that is years and years and years of data where I have not bothered to clean out attachments from any conversation.
I have 1.3 gigabyte in total, and about 1 gigabyte, actually more than 1 gigabyte of next, yeah, yeah, more than 1 gigabyte of that is just images and other documents, and it hasn't even counted everything else. So as I said, it's for even then, like, it's for most heavy users more than enough. And if you need more, pay for it. Let me see. The company is offering $1.99 per month paid plan for 100 gig with 100 gigs of storage. That is, I would say, pretty generous for what it costs. So $1.99 is nothing, and 100 gigabytes of documents and whatever is a lot. Or you can keep a lot of backups as well, because, as I said, it's not documents in per se, actually, because it's encrypted, right? So it doesn't know that it does not know that this is a document. It just knows this is a blob. And I backup, or I it's included in my backup, there's a blob. And of course the app would know, okay, this is already backed up because this was in previous backup and hasn't changed since, but the server doesn't. So it's, yeah, a little bit complicated. But at the end of the day, 100 gigabytes is a lot.
That's a lot.
For most
I
people.
think
And
that's plenty
for
for,
$1.99.
yeah.
I'm just thinking, what is Apple charging for iCloud? I think it's more than that for less. Isn't it like two, isn't it like $1.99 for 50 gigs or something?
Oh, what
Yeah.
am I paying?
Anyway, doesn't matter. It is definitely a really good
Yeah, it's
offering.
probably a better deal than what I'm paying for my extra iCloud
Yeah.
storage.
It is not a cloud storage. Like, it is storage for your messages. So that, to be clear, yeah. But
Yeah.
as I said, 100 gigabytes can do a lot with.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Yeah, anyway, so that's my story. Really cool. I don't use Signal enough to need more than the free tier, but if I ever do, I'll gladly pay the $1.99. And it's also good
Sure.
for them that they found a way to, I assume, make some money. Like, it's kind of a win-win, right? It's a good feature, and I assume at least they make some money with it.
And yes. Okay, so there you go. That's a way to support Signal if you're a Signal user.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, if you even if you don't need it, just pay for it. I mean, with plans like that, if you don't use the 100 gigs, it's probably calculated with, like, okay, some people might have 100 and some people might 50, and you usually do like a little, like,
Yeah.
you kind of find an average and get a price that you think you can charge, that people are willing to pay, and so on. But I mean, if you really want to support them, you could just be like, hey, I really don't need all that storage, but I'll gladly pay $1.99 a month to just support it. Because then, yeah, if you only have a gig, then whatever, the whatever, $1.98 or something, go to Signal, because the gigabyte is probably less than a cent, so. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
All right. Well, hey, we have a sponsor for all the shows on the
We
British
do.
Tech Network, and that's Awe Technology. And They're providing us with the resources we need so we can do our live streams and have a place for show files to live and all the stuff that makes
All of it.
makes it happen here. So that's cool, and thank you for that. What makes Awe Technologies cool, besides their generosity, is that they provide the monitoring that you need for your railroad setup, your construction projects, whatever it is that you need. So, like the video camera monitoring, the environmental monitoring, all of that, and they do a great job. So, if you're in the UK, or I'm assuming they can work some deals outside the UK, go check out Awe Technologies. And re related to those services that they help us make, we have our live stream and our live chat, which Patrice, I know it's been a while, but I'm still calling it out. You put in the work to modernize our live stream and live chat a while ago, and it's amazing how much better it is now. So, do you mind telling people about the live chat?
Do I mind? Do I mind? That's a good question. Yes, no, of course, I don't
Better
mind at all.
question. Would you please tell people about the
Okay,
live chat?
just because you asked so nicely, I'll do
Okay, thank you.
it. No, I'm gladly doing that. Yeah, we have a really cool live chat. Live.britishtechnetwork.com is where we stream this. So if you're in the mood of watching us live talk about these things and like the pre-show and the post-show and like the chat conversations we're having with people and like all of that. We're recording this every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time. So whatever time that is in your time zone, you will have to figure out. But 7 p.m. UK time, that's the time always, same day, Thursday, 7 p.m. And then head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com and that's it. You see the live stream, you have the chat next to it, you can start typing. You can change your name and authenticate if you want. There's a little purple thingy up top, purple button. Tap it, go for it. You don't have to. You can just start typing. It creates really funny names like Cocky Beaver. Don't know. I have to scroll up. Was there more today? No, there was only Cocky Beaver that was
Well,
came in
there are a
and
couple
left.
others that came in left or changed their
Okay.
names.
Okay, and change names. Yeah, I skipped that, I guess. We also have a transcript, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Go there. Select the date in the calendar, and if you select today's date, September 11th, no, 9/11, then you can see what we talked about in the chat, like the links, for example, that we posted to the stories and to the cool things that are coming up.
Awesome. Speaking of cool things, I think it's time to do cool things.
It is. I haven't decided yet which one I want to do. I think I'll do a
Well,
TV show.
do you want me to do mine while you
Yeah,
pick?
you go, because then I can hunt down the link.
Okay, so mine is a Kickstarter, and it's a science fiction anthology called Neosynthesis. And they're pitching it as 12 stories of code, consciousness, and survival. And the project needs to hit its goal by September 28th. Today is September 11th. They've already hit the goal. So at this point, it's just more people supporting the project, and you should get your book. And it sounds really interesting. Part of what has me really excited about this is that we know one of the authors that's doing stories for this book, and that's Brian Chaffin.
Ooh. Now
Yeah.
you got me sold.
Yeah. So Brian is very actively involved in the project. So in addition to the two stories that he's providing for the anthology, he's been providing a lot of input, and he's part of the whole process to bring it together. I think all the authors are, but I know for sure Brian is working with the primary person that's putting the whole project together.
Very cool.
And it becomes international because the person that is organizing the whole Kickstarter project is in Ireland.
Very cool.
So the backer prices. If you want a digital book, it's 5 euros. If you want the paperback, that's 13 euros, and then the hardback is 24 euro. And they
That's
have
not
other
bad.
packages where you get additional stuff.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So the expected deliveries are, hold on, let me take a quick look. Paperback is November 2025, and the hardback is December 2025. That's what they're projecting right now.
Yes, I mean that is basically Christmas, right? So that's a good.
And like I said, the minimum threshold for the project to move forward has been hit. So
Nice.
so this one I believe is a safe one to get into. And like I said, Brian Chaffin has two stories in here. So I'm very much looking forward to it. So there you go, Neosynthesis on Kickstarter.
Nice. Should definitely back that. Yeah, my cool thing is a TV show. It's a new show from this year. Just wrapped up the first season with a really good cast. We have, and I'm not telling you what it is yet. I want to tease who is in the show, and then I'll tell you what it is. We have Noah Wyle. We have Tracy. Oh, I'm bad at names. Ifeasure, sure. But you've seen her in shows. Patrick Ball, Catherine Lanaza. But for me, the highlight is a little-known actress, Isa Briones. Briones? I don't know. I'm bad at names usually. Seen her on Star Trek Picard as one of the first and second season. As the twins, basically.
The
And
twins.
she is a, I think, med student. No, not med student, resident, I think, or something. She's still learning at the hospital. So it's a hospital show, basically. It's the Pitt. It is, and I'm not even I'm not even exaggerating. The most realistic medical show ever, I think,
Oh, wow.
except for real like training material for med students that you can get online, like on YouTube these days. I think this is the closest. It's still entertainment, so like there's some stuff that of course is, yeah, not realistic. Especially the time frames are not always realistic. But it is like if you cannot see blood or body parts or birth or whatever, don't watch it, or look away when that happens, because they show it all. And but what I really liked about that show is it's not in a way where it's like the gore and the blood and whatever is the point. It's like, oh, look at all the blood and whatever. Like they're not sensationalizing it. It's just part of reality, right? I have to give also one warning. There's an active shooter situation that happens, not in the hospital, but they have to deal with the patients after. If that is too close to home for you, then skip that, or maybe skip the show. They handled it, and they handled it really well. What I really like, aside from the realism, and I've heard from like medical staff that they say, yeah, it's maybe too realistic. I said time frames not always. Like they do it basically it kind of combines I don't know, Grey's Anatomy maybe, or like some other medical show with 24, because it's literally a I think 16-hour shift. And I think each episode is an hour or something. 15 episodes. 15 episodes, 15 hours. Yes, one shift. So a 15-hour shift. Long shift.
So like a season is one shift.
Yes. And as I said, I mean, the amount, like it's an emergency room. So the amount of stuff that happens and the crazy stuff that happens, Yeah, okay. It is crazy in an emergency room, but I've heard at least from people that work there, they're like, it is crazy, but not that. So it's a little bit compressed. But other than that, they're like, yep. And they trained, like they really trained with real professionals, and they had real professionals on staff that helped them with it to make it as realistic as possible. And so they didn't spare anything. And I really, as I said, I like the cast, I like the characters. What I really appreciated, and that's one aspect, you know, that's why I said it's not about the gore. It's about one is the teaching aspect, like how they still find in this whole mess and in this stress and whatever, the time to teach and to have students also sometimes make little mistakes, like of course not big ones, but like little mistakes, and that's fine, it's part of learning. But also that the real cost, the human cost of every of the resource limits in hospitals. Like especially these days, short-staffed, budget pressure, like having to make decisions not based on medical things sometimes, but because of financial like realities. Like you would maybe make a different decision or do something else if it was financially, if it was medically, or it was not financially driven, but sometimes it is. Pressures from, as I said, management and so on. And also, what I really liked, it is a post COVID show,
Oh, okay.
and they deal with the real, and that is a real thing, PTSD that medical workers got from it, in a very, I think in a well way. I don't know how realistic it is, but I have a feeling that's pretty close to reality. That like the people are not fine. The stuff that they see, that they saw back then, and that they see still every day, does affect them.
Sure, of course it
Yeah,
does. Yeah.
and in a real way, it's not like, oh, I have a little bit PTSD, whatever. No, like real, like their mental health is a big problem. And but they're kind of trying to push through it because they're always like, oh, I have to help people and all of that, and like I would rather they had their helper, so I would like to take care of others and not take care of myself, and maybe also distract myself sometimes from the problems I have. So it's as I said, it's a good mix and great cast, and there is a second season coming. I think it's on Max or HBO on Max now. It's not. Why is it again
Okay.
HBO Max? I always forget. They keep changing names.
It's back to HBO's back in the name.
Okay, good. Then it's HBO Max again. So yeah, scripted show, The Pitt. It's I think
Cool.
Pittsburgh Hospital, if I remember correctly.
Which would make sense if it's
Yes.
the pit.
Yeah. As I said, d not for the faint of heart. If you can't see blood, then I don't know. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
I found it really interesting. I said, but they showed it all. Like there were some stuff where it's like. Okay, 20 years ago, they would have not gotten away with this.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you're right. Even on a like HBO, where they can do more because it's not traditional broadcast television.
Yeah, but as I said, they're, I think right now shooting the second season, they got a lot of at least nominations. So they got primetime Emmy nominations so far, I think. Don't remember how many, 10, 13 something. So that's pretty cool.
Cool.
And I think like also some others. So it's a good show.
Awesome. All right. Well, Patrice, it's time for us to wrap up.
It is.
So, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the big show with you on Thursdays, also on Fridays with you. So tomorrow, we're going to talk about the keynote poker results and it's hilarious. So, and the Apple event. Yeah, that's tomorrow. ThePatrice.com is my website. You can find out everything I'm doing on that one. I still have to post a blog post that I've prepared. I forgot about that. And the blog post is actually about the other thing we do together, which is Retro Rewatch, and I like to show the mug. Link.
I need to change up my which days I use which mugs because
Oh.
I end up using my Retro Rewatch mug like by Wednesday,
Uh-huh.
So it's in the dishwasher right now.
Yeah, maybe
So
you
I
just
can't
need more
show it.
mugs.
I need more mugs, but
Yes,
I'm sure that's it. I
I
just need
think we
more
can
mugs.
organize that. Anyway, like yes, Retro Rewatch, the show where we rewatch retro TV shows, and yeah, we're still in Stargate SG-1. We did a little detour. We actually cross-posted a Summer of Fun episode recently. Now I'm blanking. What we talked about sitcoms. Yes, the sitcom one.
It was sitcoms.
Yes, so I got some good feedback about that, and yeah, we're about to post tomorrow the next one, and I think yeah, Legacy was the one we posted last week, so Learning Curve is coming up this week.
Well, I can't wait to find out what we thought of it.
Yeah, season 3, episode 5 of Stargate SG-1. That's the one. So if you haven't
Nice.
watched it yet, go watch it, and then tomorrow you will get a new episode.
Yeah,
So how about you,
awesome.
Jeff?
Well, on the social medias, I'm Jay Gamet, and most of my posting is happening right now on Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Pixel Fed. And then, but you know, I have to really think about where I need to be posting come October, because
Oh, yeah.
October is Inktober.
It's coming up.
And then December is Lego Advent Calendar. So I may have to expand out where my posts are showing up. But anyhow, so then for podcasts, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, then Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and we posted an episode yesterday, so it'd be September 10th, where we talk about Apple's awe-dropping media event. And then, as you pointed out, you and I do Retro Rewatch.
We do.
So, with that, it is now time to wrap up. Patrice, this has been an absolute delight. I really enjoy when we get to do shows together, and when it's just the two of us, well,
Oh,
then
it's very
it's just
special.
that much more special. Yeah. So, love to you. And speaking of love, hey, all of you that watch and listen live, thank you for being part of the show. If you're involved in the live chat, thank you for that as well. Everyone that watches and listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Technology, thank you for being our sponsor. And so, with that, as Patrice pointed out, tomorrow we're going to go over the results from our keynote poker for the awe-dropping event on the Mac Show, and there'll be more to talk about, of course. So join us for that. Then don't forget to come back next Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.